Hello and welcome to The Wisdom Journey. The Wisdom Journey is a three-year teaching series through the entire Bible. Your teacher is Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. Stephen has a lesson for you today called Two Ingredients of Hope. True, lasting hope can't be based on ever-changing circumstances, whether good or bad. Hope is found in knowing God and trusting Him, the one who is all-powerful and always faithful.
I read some time ago about a small town in Maine that had been selected as the location for a new hydroelectric plant. A dam was going to be built in the river nearby, and the town would eventually be submerged in water as a result of this newly formed lake. Well, when the government project was announced to the town, the people were given several months to arrange their affairs, get reimbursed for their property, and find new places to live and relocate. But during those final months, a curious thing happened. That little town fell into complete disrepair. No buildings were painted, landscaping was neglected, repairs were no longer made on any of the roads, sidewalks, or homes. Nobody planted any flowers anymore. In fact, several months before the water submerged that little town, it looked abandoned, even though the people were still living there. Why? Well, because there was no hope for the future of that little town. As one of the townspeople said to a reporter, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." How true that is in life. Someone once wrote that a person can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but no one can truly live for 1 minute without hope. You know, I find it interesting in the Bible that there's a connection between faith and hope. When you find one of these words in the Bible, you often find the other word nearby. Like Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, where Paul writes, "Through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." Well, now, so far in Romans chapter 4, Paul has been using Abraham as an example to illustrate that faith alone justifies the believer. Well, now Abraham is going to be used as an example of hope. Paul writes here in verse 17, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." Well, now here Paul is recalling God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 17 that would make him the father of a multitude of nations. In fact, God did not say, "I will make you the father of many nations." The future tense isn't even used. The perfect tense is used. In other words, it's already done. You see, as far as God is concerned, this promise is as good as delivered. Abraham is already the father of many nations, even though at the time of God's promise, Abraham and Sarah didn't even have one child yet. Abraham had yet to change one diaper when God made him this promise. It was as good as done. But we're told here that Abraham believed. That is, Abraham had faith. He believed God, even though, as we're going to see in a moment, the fulfillment of that promise seemed impossible. That's why Paul highlights here in verse 17 that God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. You see, when you understand that God has this kind of power, you have every reason to believe his promises. You have every reason then to have hope in life. If God can create life, he can control life, your life and mine. Now, perhaps it's because Abraham's case seems so hopeless that Paul reminds us of Abraham's example of both faith and hope. Paul now brings out what I like to call two ingredients of hope that are demonstrated here in Abraham's life. The first ingredient is a commitment to believe without seeing. Verse 18 says, "In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Now, I got to tell you, back in verse 17, the verb tenses almost seem cruel. God said to Abraham, "I have made you the father of many nations." And from God's perspective, this was already done. But Abraham certainly didn't see nations or descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. Again, think about the fact that when Abraham was first given this promise from God, he was 75 years old. Even his name seemed to mock him. Abram means exalted father. Well, he wasn't a father. He never got out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to give his baby a bottle so Sarah could sleep a little longer. He wasn't an exalted father at all. Then in Genesis chapter 17, God met him again. Abram was 99 years old. He had one son now through Hagar, but that son, Ishmael, was not the son of promise. That would be a son through his wife, Sarah, as God had promised earlier. But here in Genesis chapter 17, God even changed Abram's name to Abraham. That is, from exalted father now to father of a multitude. How's that for a name change? And yet we're told Abraham believed God. He committed afresh as a 99-year-old man to believing without seeing. And that leads me to the second ingredient of hope. And that's a choice to trust without evidence. Now Paul writes here in verse 19, "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb." Now wait a second. It seems like Abraham did grow weak in his faith several times. But God graciously summarizes here Abraham's life in light of his ultimate faith in God's sovereign plan. By the way, a gracious God does the same thing with you and me today. He views us as who we are in Christ. We're cleansed. The record of our sin has already been swept clean by the blood of Christ. That's how he views us today. And I'm glad he does. Well, Paul points out here that the promise of God doesn't make any sense at all physically. The evidence is against this old couple needing to go buy a crib and little blue curtains for the nursery. Paul writes here in verse 19 that Abraham was now about 100 years old. That means his wife Sarah was about 90 years old. She'd never been able to have a child before. All that to say, the evidence pointed to the hopelessness of their situation. But Abraham believed that his all-powerful God could give life to the dead. Verse 20 says, "He did not waver concerning the promise of God. In fact, his faith grew stronger over time, and he gave glory to God." Verse 21 adds that he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now, I don't want you to think here, beloved, that this kind of faith and hope were just for Abraham. That's not true at all. In fact, Paul goes on here to end chapter 4 here by writing in verse 22, "That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness." Now, the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus, our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So how do you deal with seemingly hopeless circumstances when the visible evidence doesn't seem to align with God's promises? You remember who God is, the all-powerful God who proved his power by giving life to old Abraham and Sarah, and proved it even further by raising his son Jesus from the dead. Look, if he can do that, we have every reason to choose to trust him today. Now listen, hope and trust in Christ doesn't ignore the evidence or minimize the difficulties and pain and challenges of life. Hope just doesn't stop there. Hope doesn't live in the shadows of our challenges and difficulties. Hope is a choice to trust. Sometimes one moment at a time, one day at a time. It occurred to me some time ago that hope has a lot to do with preoccupation. When you are preoccupied with circumstances, you lose hope. But when you are preoccupied with God, hope is restored because you're reminded that God is fully capable of keeping his promises, and he will in time. So to put it simply, the best way to have hope today is to concentrate on him. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called today's lesson, Two Ingredients of Hope. We're going to continue through the book of Romans and all the rest of God's Word in the days ahead. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of the previous lessons along this wisdom journey, they're posted to our website. You can listen to the audio version or watch the video version. All of that content is available free and on demand at wisdomonline.org. You can go there anytime to listen to past lessons from this program, as well as Stephen's second daily program called Wisdom for the Heart. Wisdom for the Heart is based on Stephen's 4 decades of pastoral ministry. Those full-length sermons are also available on the website. You can listen to each one or read Stephen's manuscript. Once again, that web address is wisdomonline.org. If there's any way we can help you today, our number is 866-48-BIBLE. When you call, ask about the free gift we have for our first-time callers. We want to send you the next 3 issues of Stephen's magazine called Heart to Heart. Ask about that when you call us today at 866-48-BIBLE. Or 866-482-4253. Thanks again for listening. Please join us again next time here on The Wisdom Journey.